This is the Ministers of the New Covenant radio broadcast. We come to you in the name of Yeshua the Messiah, the Son of the Most High Yahweh. Tune in each week to hear teachings directly from Scripture, focused upon believing in the Father, His Son, and the holy and righteous law of our Creator. At the end of this broadcast, we will give you the web address whereby you may contact us for further scriptural information.
When I was a child growing up in the home of my mom and dad, I had one sister and no brothers. And like with all young girls, my sister liked the movie Cinderella. She liked Cinderella the Princess. And I didn't mind watching the movie or reading the book as a little boy. But one of the lines I remember in the movie is where the stepmother of Cinderella, along with those dreadful stepsisters that I never could like, but they would tell Cinderella, "Wash the dishes, scrub the floor, and see who's knocking at the door." And I wonder sometimes now, as a grown man, how many husbands have borrowed that line for their wives since that movie was produced many years ago. I'm sure for the wives of such husbands, that phrase is not one that's accepted with graciousness. So this will be part four in the series of lessons that I've been teaching in regards to husbands loving their wives. You know, we've all got physical duties to perform in the life that we live. And I know that when I was young, my mother would have me do things like take out the trash or vacuum the carpet and sometimes even clean the bathroom. I remember the dreaded bathroom growing up, especially during summer vacation. But I'm certainly glad that I had parents that gave me responsibility, because it built character within me. Not only would my parents give me the chores to complete, but they would also teach me to do them to the best of my ability. You know, I remember my dad, whom I love dearly. He once quoted to me a passage from the book of Colossians when I was young. And it was Colossians 3:23, and it states this: "Whatsoever you do, do it enthusiastically, as something done for the Lord and not for men." So if I took out the trash, I was supposed to do it as unto the Lord and not just as unto my parents. And so now when I'm on a job as an adult, I recognize that when I'm acting in service to a customer, I'm not only working as unto the customer, but I'm also working as unto the Lord. And that gets cumbersome. That gets rough. But it is the scriptural way of doing things. I have to admit, I don't always want to give it my best, but Colossians 3:23 demands this of me as a follower of the Messiah. I have to constantly tell myself, would I do it this way if I were doing it for my master? And what we need to understand as men, I know this is kind of a long introduction, but I'm building up to this next part. What we need to understand as men is that the same goes for our physical duties towards our wife. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. The physical duties that we have towards our wife. Next week, we're going to deal with the spiritual duties, and that's important too. Tonight, the physical duties. And somebody is saying, "You mean I have duties unto my wife, Brother Matthew?" Yes, you do. And you are supposed to be doing them with joy and not with grief. And like all physical duties performed by followers of the Messiah, you are to do them as unto the Lord, as unto the Master. You're to do them with all of your might and your strength, to the best of your human capability, so that Yahweh, the Father, Yeshua, His Son, and the beautiful wife whom Yahweh has blessed you with will be pleased. We're going to use as a base text Exodus chapter 21, verse 10, if you'd like to get your Bible out. Because Exodus 21 verse 10 mentions three primary areas of the physical duty of the husband toward the wife. And it's to these three areas that I want to go to at this point. See, when a man takes a wife, the law of Yahweh requires that he provide her with food, with clothing, and with marriage rites. And that's three physical areas of importance. And rest assured, that does not mean that you allow her to buy TV dinners, wear sackcloth, and give her the command of the DVD player and the remote control. That's not what Exodus 21 verse 10 is talking about. If you're thinking that it is, then you are way off base, and let me continue by explaining. Let's start with the first physical duty, the provision of food. This means that you're to provide for your wife with sustenance or nourishment. If you do not provide anything for her to cook, then surely she's not going to be able to do any cooking for you, the husband. So if you like biscuits and tomato gravy, if you're like me, you're the one who needs to provide the flour, the tomatoes, and whatever else you like to go with the meal. And I'm being humorous to a point, but hopefully I'm making my point. The man is to be the one who provides for his wife. That's my point. You provide materially as the male head of the home, not the other way around. The wife is the keeper of the home, but it is the man in the marriage that makes sure the needs of the home, such as sustenance and food, are supplied for his wife and his family. Now, in modern-day America, it is a lot more complex. It's backwards or it's different. Sometimes you have what is called a stay-at-home dad. And that's just not the way that our Heavenly Father designed us men. In America, you have the woman who goes off to work in this high-rise building in the city, while the children go off to government education, and the man stays home and watches over the affairs of the house. I've known people that live like this, but Yahweh never intended the roles for marriage to work in that way. That would place the woman as the supplier of the food, and elsewhere as well, and the man in the role of the one who accepts the supply, rather than the one who earns the supply. Now, this lesson, and these lessons in general, are not intended primarily as an instruction manual for women, but I do need to address women who may be listening tonight or later on in the future to the recording. I want you to understand me. I do not speak what I just spoke to degrade a woman's place or her role in the marriage, because the woman's role is quite a prestigious one in the biblical view. She has the responsibility of keeping the home and taking care of her children, and Yahweh has put that nature within the female gender. It's something that men are just not built to do. You know, no matter how hard I try, I cannot keep a home like my wife. She is better than me at that by leaps and bounds. And this is because she was given this role as a gift by Yahweh because she's a female. So Paul, the Apostle Paul, speaks of this role in the book of Titus, chapter 2. And he states there that the older women are to teach the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, to be pure, to be good homemakers, to be submissive to their husbands, so that Yahweh's message will not be slandered. And I only want to center in on two words in that verse in Titus chapter 2. Good homemakers. Because, as I said, I only mention women here to explain to them that I do not look upon them as being less of a person because they keep the home. After all, I'm married to a woman, and I absolutely love it. I love the woman that I'm married to. I love marriage in general. Now, this word homemakers, the Greek word here for homemakers is the word oikouros. And it's defined by various Greek lexicons as, one, a stayer at home, two, domestically inclined, three, caring for the house, four, working at home, and five, taking care of household affairs. Now, this is where the woman is required by the passage in Titus chapter 2 to be, according to the Bible. And I'm sure glad that they are, because I, as a man, would make an entire mess of the home. Now, this place of the woman is a precious place. And I remember once talking to a friend of mine who has a wonderful wife and eight wonderful children. And he was telling me, if I recall correctly, about these certain curtains his wife wanted to put up in their home. And she came to him asking him if he liked the curtains And he told me that without hesitation, he said, absolutely, honey, because he knew that she liked them. And he explained to me that he already knew she liked them, those particular curtains. And he also told me that either we as men are going to let our wives be the keepers of the home, or we're not. In other words, brothers, he left that decision up to his wife. And I try to do the same for my wife. If my wife likes a particular set of dishes, I want her to have those. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let me continue on in the vein that I'm talking. Yahweh has instilled that type of role in a woman, but Yahweh has instilled within the man the ability and the strength to be the provider for the home. See, the man was given the job of tilling the ground and sweating in the face in Genesis chapter 3. We as men are the ones who should be laboring for the physical provisions for our wife and our children, and we should never demand for our wife to do what Yahweh requires us to do as men. That's like passing the buck to someone that it doesn't belong to. That's like your mother telling you to clean your room as a child, and then you secretly ask your younger sister to clean your room for a quarter. You should not ask others to do something that Yahweh has commanded you personally to do. All right? So, after we come to the provision of sustenance, the basic needs like food, things of that nature, we next come to clothing. Exodus 21:10, food, and then clothing. And this brings me back to what I said about the curtains and the dishes. Now, I know that these items are not clothes that your wife is going to wear, but the point of the text mentioning clothing in Exodus 21:10 is not that you just center in on a piece of cloth that your wife puts on, but it's that you need to make your wife comfortable in her appearance as well as the appearance of the home that she keeps. You need to make sure that she has nice things as well as nice clothing. Now, I do not mean that you have to spend an enormous amount of money on something. Don't put me in that type of category. I am not saying that. All I'm saying is that you should make sure that the home that your wife is the keeper of is suitable for her, and that the clothes that your wife wears are to her taste. They're nice. They're beautiful for her. You know, if there's one thing that I do not get the most thrills out of, men, brothers, it's shopping for women's clothing. I remember as a child going through a department store with my mother and wondering how much longer it would be before we were finished. I could not then, nor can I now, even begin to comprehend how women enjoy looking for hours at clothes that for the most part they will never even buy. When I go shopping for a specific item, I know ahead of time what I want, and one of my goals is that I get in and out of the store as quickly as possible, and I'm sure that a lot of you brothers can get in the Amen Corner on that one with me. See, we men need to realize that it's not the same with women, though. And there's nothing wrong with the way that women shop. It's just a difference that exists between the sexes of men and women. When my wife asks me about going to shop for clothing, I tell her that I don't mind one bit if she takes some money and goes out to buy herself a new outfit or two. I might even go with her if she's nice to me, and I'm smiling when I say that. She deserves, as the keeper of the home and the mother of my five children that she bore, to be able to dress beautifully, modestly, and in a feminine manner. Now, I also say that while she is shopping, why not buy a sweet-smelling fragrance? The book of Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verses 10 through 11 comes to mind, where it says, "How sweet is your love, my treasure, my bride, how much better it is than wine. Your perfume is more fragrant than the richest of spices. Your lips, my bride, are as sweet as honey. Yes, honey and cream are under your tongue. The scent of your clothing is like that of the mountains and the cedars of Lebanon." End of quote. And that's from the New Living Translation. And what I'm saying in all of this is that a husband should make his wife feel like a beautiful bride. A woman should be able to have a nicely decorated home, nice, decent clothes, shoes, jewelry, perfumes, etc. And once again, they don't have to be extravagant. I understand that you don't have to go out and spend all this money frivolously. But I'm just talking about decency and doing the best to make your wife feel like she is your precious and beloved bride. The virtuous woman was clothed in fine linen and purple, according to Proverbs 31, verse 22. And I consider my wife to be virtuous, so why can't the same be said of her? And I believe that it can and it should be said of her, for my job as the husband, according to Exodus 21:10, is to supply her with clothing. Take time to get your Bible out and read Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 1 through 14, and look at how Yahweh adorned His symbolic wife, Israel. Yahweh puts all us husbands to shame. Let me interject a little bit here and make the point again that I'm not intending to come across in a way that makes women look incapable of doing anything for themselves. I do think that I'm making myself fairly clear, but I want to press the issue again. I know the scriptures in Proverbs 31 that speaks of a priceless woman, a virtuous woman, evaluating a field, buying it, and planting a vineyard. I'm fully aware of those passages, but that does absolutely nothing to thwart the roles which Yahweh has given men and women. The woman can do all these things, but she does them while she is the keeper of the home. My wife actually has a business that she runs. It's not that she runs it apart from my headship, but she runs that business under the authority of me as her husband. But she does it right here out of the home where she can still take care of the home and the children and what have you. The woman can do these things as the keeper of the home, but she is never ever to take the position of the husband as the provider and the sustainer of the physical needs of the house. He is not to be in the kitchen cooking and cleaning while the wife is out working 8 hours a day. Now sure, she can help him in his business. And even as we've noted, she can consider how good a field is for the crop production for the family, according to Proverbs 31. And I was doubly concerned with making sure my wife was satisfied with a piece of property that we live together on right now. And if my wife didn't think that the land was suitable for the needs of the home that she keeps, then it was on to the next property to keep looking. I looked for property for several years. And we found some that both her and I liked, and that's where we've kind of camped out here for the past, 5 years or so. So I hope that I've made myself clear in this lesson that a woman is not a second-class citizen in Yahweh's kingdom. It's just that the male head of the household is not supposed to hand over the obligations to her. See, Yahweh has given him these obligations. And he should not expect her to do what he is required to do. He's required to supply the food and the clothing for his wife and his children. And this is not the requirement for the wife. And you husbands that have not been serving your wives in these manners and have been just lazy, drunkards and gluttons and just on the couch and not going out and providing for your family, you need to begin to do that today. You need to repent of your sluggard mentality and make the extended effort to physically supply for your family and work by the sweat of your face. So, to close out this lesson, we want to come to what some Bibles call marital rights and others call conjugal rights. And when we look at the Hebrew wording used here, we can come to the conclusion that these rights refer to something that is threefold: housing, fellowship, and sexual intercourse. Okay? Now, we've basically covered housing to some extent, but let me just briefly say that the husbands are required to supply their wives with a house that's suitable for her to live in and take care of the family in. And this house, I believe, personally, should be decorated the way that the wife desires it to be decorated. Now, I don't say that that's some kind of hard and fast rule of Scripture, and I don't mean to teach that a husband can't interject his ideas in the area of how the outside and inside of the house should look. All I'm saying is that for me, I let my wife make these types of decisions because she's the keeper of the home. She's the one that spends most of her time at home, and I feel inclined to let her be the one who decides how her home is going to look. And if she wants a very pretty feminine floral bedspread on our bed. I do not bellyache because I want a striped bedspread or a solid bedspread. I just smile and I let her be the keeper of the home. Now, when I mention housing, let me also say that that doesn't mean you got to buy a $250,000 home to keep up with the Joneses or to fulfill the command of Exodus 21:10. No. Scratch that idea. As a matter of fact, I would tell you to shy away from spending more money on a home than you're able to afford. All I'm saying is, make sure that she's comfortable at the place that you live. Make sure that she feels safe when she goes to bed at night. And make sure that she has a place that she can not only dwell, but a place that she can love. A place that she enjoys being the keeper of. Next, I want to move into the realm of fellowship. That's part of the marital rights. It's included in the term marital rights. You and your wife should be best friends, husbands. Communicating with each other every day, talking about things in the natural and in the spiritual, spending time with one another, and enjoying the time that you spend together. I honestly believe that one of the greatest pitfalls in a marriage is lack of communication. So often, the most communication in a marriage is either spouse asking the other one, "So, how was your day, honey?" And then the reply is usually, "Well, it was fine," and then you're off to do your own hobbies. You know, we think that we need alone time from our spouse, but get real. The two, saith Yahweh, will become one flesh. You should not ever, husbands, need space as a husband away from your wife. Come on. You should have an earnest desire to communicate with her in an enjoyable fashion. Because lack of communication, it stems from several things. Perhaps the man is working way too much, and he doesn't find the time to spend with his wife. Well, the wife begins to feel that her husband does not desire to be in her presence, and she has a sense of loneliness come over her. And men, while you should work to provide for your family, you should never, ever work to the neglect of your family. Listen, brothers, an extra $100 is not worth missing family devotions or family dinner or tucking your children in at night. Or maybe you let the television get in the way of your communication. Instead of sitting on the couch or lying in bed and talking and laughing and communicating with your wife, you just watch the latest sitcom on TV and never speak a word to your wife. But whatever the case may be, husbands are commanded to spend fellowship time with our wives. If we do not, you know what's going to happen? They're going to begin to seek fellowship elsewhere. And that does not okay adulterous thoughts in the mind of a wife. No, they're sinful. They're wrong. I just point this out to show that we should not be the ones that drive our wives to have those thoughts. They should get plenty of attention from the man that they vowed their life to. Now, my wife and I, we have 5 children. And we love our children with all that's within us. And they're blessings from Yahweh. But there are times when my wife and I need to have time together. And it's not because we seek to neglect our children and have someone else raise them, but we have to recharge our marriage relationship. You know, for example, there are times when my wife likes to go out, like she says, on a date with her husband, have a quiet dinner, a walk through the mall, or a walk in the park. A husband should give this to his wife. Now, with me, it can be difficult at times because the more children that you have, the less chance that you have at finding someone who wants to take on the task of watching them. But we're blessed to each have a mother who is willing to take the time to watch our children for a few hours and give me and my wife the time that we need to bring us back into that bond of marriage. What every husband needs to do is to surprise his wife by planning an evening all by yourself without her help. That will make her day. Make sure that you've got everything planned to the T. You can have the children scheduled to be taken care of. The dinner reservations are set. Whatever else you plan is also set. You don't even need to tell her about it. Just surprise her with it because it's going to make her feel great. Tell her that it's time for her to get dressed. And when she asks why, tell her it's a surprise and make sure that that's how you go about it, men, because the last thing your wife wants to hear you say is, "Honey, how about we go off by ourselves tonight?" And then when she's shocked by the sound of those words and she asks you, "Where do you want to go?" And you say something like, "Well, it doesn't matter, wherever." Will, that glimpse of love that she just caught from you came to a screeching halt. She doesn't want to hear the words, "It doesn't matter." She wants to know that it does matter to you, and when you plan this out yourself, that's one of the best things that you can do for her, to let her know that it truly does matter. And let me also say that you should take the time out to hold your wife's hand. Open the car door for her. Reach over and touch her on the arm while driving down the road. These are the kinds of things that we all did when we were courting or dating our wife that is now. And I remember those times and the times when I felt like I couldn't be away from her for even a few minutes. And as hard as it might seem, you can regain that feeling. It's there. You just lost it. And you got to search for it so that you can find it and grab hold to it again. It's a shame that so many men today claim that such love can never be attained. I totally disagree. With Yahweh on our side, we can have the greatest marriage imaginable. See, your wife needs you to hold her hand while you walk through the grocery store with her. And for that matter, why not put your arm around her every once in a while, men? Let her know that she's truly loved. And I realize that as a husband, I don't know why, but sometimes for us husbands, that can be awkward. And it might be because we haven't done things like this in years. And we feel like it's not in us to do it, and that's just not our style. But you know what? That's all tough. And that's just a flimsy, unrighteous excuse that we come up with. And we need to learn to love our wife in this way because that's what she wants. And we need to speak her language, see. Know that it's probably going to take a lot more than a day or two of doing your duty for your wife, for her to begin to acknowledge that you're truly genuine in your feelings. Marriages don't get destroyed overnight, brothers. And they don't get rebuilt overnight either. Generally, marriages are demolished because one or both parties secretly but surely fall further and further away at a slow fade. And in this case, the husband used to kiss his wife every day. He always looked out for her best interest. He communicated with her frequently. But after a couple of years, the "I love you" that came from him dwindled down to two or three times a week, and the fellowship was gone. And next thing you know, the husband has his eye on another woman, and the wife of his children does not appeal to him any longer. And the same can happen with a wife towards her husband. And my point is to stop it before it ever happens. Realize, though, that it's going to take some extra effort from you as the man. It's going to take some extra time. And it's going to take some extra stamina on your part to restore the marriage to its proper stage. But husbands, the buck starts with you. Now, I said that we were also going to get into the area of sex. And maybe some of you husbands were looking forward to what I was going to say about that. But I have run out of time, so we're going to save that for next week. So we'll deal with the area of sexual intimacy next week. And then we'll also go into the spiritual duties of the husband.
You've been listening to the Ministers of the New Covenant radio broadcast. Our website is ministersnewcovenant.org. That's ministersnewcovenant.org. Please visit our website where you will find hundreds of audio sermons as well as videos, books, and articles explaining various doctrines in the scriptural faith. For questions, you can also call 678-347-6240. That's 678-347-6240. Thanks for listening, and according to His will, may Yahweh richly bless.